begin this morning. I don't know where I want to begin this morning. How about that? Hallelujah. So we'll just jump in here and go, and we'll see where we end up. Last Sunday, we talked about, you know, I felt like the Lord had challenged me for the month of November and to challenge the body and to challenge the people. And so we shared some things last Sunday, and I titled my sermon, Ready, Set, Go. Okay? And so being ready to preach the gospel. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Hallelujah. But is the gift of God unto salvation. Set your mind on things above, and then go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. How many know God has called us as disciples and ministers of the gospel? He's not just called me as a minister of a gospel. He's not just called a chosen few. But how many know all of us are called and ordained and purposed, hallelujah, for the calling of the ministry of the gospel, of taking the message of the cross to the world? Do you believe that this morning? Hallelujah. That when the disciples came into the upper room on the day of Pentecost, the scripture says, and there came from heaven a sound, came as a sound from heaven, as a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the house and it filled the room. And how many know there was an empowerment of the Holy Spirit that set upon them? Yep. Not only an empowerment, an infilling of the Holy Spirit and an activation. Amen. It activated them. Hallelujah. So I want to talk this morning about activate, empower, and enlarge. Okay? And so when we look at the book of Acts, and we've been studying that on Wednesday night, we see where the disciples literally, they begin to be activated. Okay? The book of Acts are the acts of the apostles, or the actions. How many know it's an action word? How many know worship is an action word? Discipleship is an action word. That we are activated, that we are sent into all the world. And I'm convinced if 12 disciples could turn the world upside down and go into all the world and preach the gospel, I'm convinced that this church full of people right here, right now, has no limitations. Do you believe that? Hallelujah. And we have no idea where our influence or our ministry or those that we come in contact with, we really have no idea where that word, where that scripture, where that impartation can go from here. Hallelujah. We had a word prophesied over us years and years ago, and I don't remember who prophesied it, but he said that this ministry here would be like a pebble that would be dropped in a pool, and you would see the ripples go out from that, and that you would have no idea as to the limit of where those ripples can go. And I believe that. Hallelujah. I believe that's still a prophetic word that's still in operation in this house today. Amen. That we are still pebbles in a pond or pebbles in a pool, that when it's dropped in, we have no idea the effects that it will have and the ripples as it, the ripple effect as the gospel is spread. Hallelujah. But what I love about what we talked about last week, we talked about being a body ministry and having giftings and having, you know, sometimes we'll say things like, I wish we had, or I would like to do this, or what if we, and you know what? Sometimes that's the Lord speaking to you to activate something he's placed in your heart or desire he's placed within you. How many know every one of us have a passion for something? How many are passionate about the Lord? How many are passionate about your relationship with the Lord? Because what you're passionate about, you'll put energy into. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay, what you're passionate about, you'll put energy into. Hallelujah. Our passions. So we put energy into those things, and we operate out of those, and we activate those things. And so God has called us all as a part of the body. And I want to talk this morning about us being gifts to the body. But also we talked about last week about the young man who had the palsy. And the scripture said that he had four friends that gathered around him, and they gathered him up. And when they brought him to the house where Jesus was, and they couldn't get him in, it said they went to the top of the house or went to the roof, and they took off part of the roof, and they lowered him down into the midst of where Jesus was. Hallelujah. And Jesus recognized their faith, and because of that, he was made every whit whole. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know about you this morning, but if we were in service today and all of a sudden a piece of the roof came up missing and somebody lowered somebody down through the roof, it would get the attention of those in the house. Hallelujah. But what I love about that is the passion of these four friends. See, you don't need a lot of friends, but you need four like these four. Yeah. Hallelujah. And if those four, if you got four friends and those four friends aren't for you, they're not friends. They're acquaintances. Hallelujah. But how many know every now and then you need some roof rippers in your life that are willing to take you to the heights of where Jesus is and said, you know what? I got my tool belt on. I got my hard hat today. I got my roof shovel and I'm here to see to it. You get everything that you need in Jesus today. Hallelujah. And so sometimes I think we need to be vigilant in our concern and our desire for others and say, I'm not just going to, you know, what they could have done was said, well, I invited them. But we couldn't get in, so we left. Or I told them we were having a special service, but I don't know why they didn't show up. How many know what they did? They went and got him because he wasn't able to get there on his own. Hallelujah. And they brought him to the house where Jesus was. And how many know the scripture says that Jesus recognized just not his faith, but their faith and said, because of your faith. Hallelujah. And as they lowered him, Jesus spoke to the palsied man and said, rise up and walk. How many know he did not go out of that place the same way he came? Hallelujah. There is something about being in the presence of Jesus that changes things. Hallelujah. And so we must be sensitive in our services and when we come together and say, Lord, what is your purpose today? What is your will in this house? Because it's not about our agenda. It's about being a sensitive to the Spirit and say, Lord, what do you want to do right here and right now? Hallelujah. Lord, is there a drawing? Is there a conviction and a drawing for salvation? Lord, is there an anointing in the service for healing? Is there impartation that you want to give? Is it the word that you want to bring forth? And all of that can happen in the same arena, or it could be one of those things. How many know it doesn't have to be a set schedule? It doesn't have to be a set agenda, but it does have to be his agenda. Hallelujah. And so we talked about those friends having some roof rippers in your life. Anybody have any roof rippers in your life? Hallelujah. Somebody knows how to use a shingle shovel. Is that the right word, hon? A shingle shovel. I've seen those. They look different than any other kind of shovel. They got some little grooves on them, and you got to get on. You got to what? Look a little bit like duck feet. Yeah, they do. And you get underneath the nails and you pop the shingles off. Hallelujah. How many know sometimes you need some roof rippers in your life? Hallelujah. How many know sometimes you need to be a roof ripper? And sometimes you need some of them in your life. Hallelujah. That are willing to impart. I watched something on, I guess it was Facebook the other day, it's Mr. Rogers. Did anybody see the clip of Mr. Rogers? It's about the little boy that was on his show. And the little boy was paralyzed when he was about 4 years old. And it showed Mr. Rogers just talking to this little boy. And he had such a great attitude. He was about 7 or 8 years old, something like that. And he was just talking to him. And the boy was just explaining all about his condition and all of those things. And he sang a little song to him. It said something to the fact that I like you for you. Not for the clothes you wear or the hair or the kind of your hair or whatever, but I like you for you. And he sang that to him, and they honored, he just ministered to that little boy on that show. And they honored Mr. Rogers years, like 20 years later or something out, and they brought that young man back on the stage. And he said to him, you changed my life. And that boy is still in the wheelchair, but still functional. And he was just thanking him for the impartation and the impact that Mr. Rogers had on his life. That just telling him, I like you for you, just how you are in the wheelchair doesn't matter to me. And he was just speaking life to him and encouraging him. Hallelujah. And you know, and I thought about the power of our words, the power of our words to frame worlds. The power of our words to change circumstances and situations. I mean, you can be in the midst of a circumstance or a situation, and how you use your words can determine the outcome of that. Yeah. We can either use our words to be harmful or hurtful or destructive, or we can use our words to build up, edify, encourage, and cause people to be lifted up when they leave. How many know people won't know necessarily everything about your philosophy. They may not know your greatest doctrine. They may not know, you know, your college background, but they will know how they feel when they're in your midst. And when they leave from you, that they've been lifted up and encouraged and better for being in contact with you. Hallelujah. So our words can frame worlds. We speak. The scripture tells us that we have the power of life and death in our tongue. That you can speak life to people or you can speak death to people. I mean, no, you can give life to a situation or you can speak death to it. And how many know sometimes the right thing is to speak death to it? Do you understand what I'm saying? Not given power sometimes to circumstances or situations that say, you know what, I'm not even going to let that voice be heard in my life. I'm not going to let that ugly thing rise up in me or in my family. I'm going to speak life and power and hope and the words that bring life. Yes. Hallelujah. If we could ever figure out how much power our words have, our relationship would change. Marriages would change. Our children would change. Hallelujah. And here's what happens. If we change our marriage and change our children and our households, how many know those, we begin to change our world like that. Because as we learn to operate in the power of affirmation being able to speak life to people instead of death. Hallelujah. Changing how we see things. Begin to nurture those things that are positive. How many know sometimes you just got to look for something positive in a situation? You have to look for something uplifting, something unto edification. Hallelujah. It's real popular this month to give thanks each day for something that you're thankful for. It's a great concept. It's a great idea to just take the day and just be thankful. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, no, we are not thankful. We're really not thankful like we should be. I'm thankful I'm here today. I'm thankful I walked in on my own accord. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for family today. I'm thankful I had food to eat before I got here. I'm going to have food to eat when I leave. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for those things. And we tend to take those things for granted. And when you take things for granted, your murmuring and complaining takes over. How many know you don't have near as much room for murmuring and complaining if you're thankful? Yep. Hallelujah, because you can't give thanks and complain at the same time. Amen. Hallelujah. So we talked last week about ready, set, go to equip yourself, equipping of the saints. Set, position yourself. Hallelujah. Have your priorities in order. Go ye. Challenge. Hallelujah. The Lord challenge us to go out even into our community and to invite people to come in. Share the gospel with those in our neighborhoods and those around us. I'm going to go to Ephesians 4 this morning. If you go ahead and bring that up for me. I want to read it out of the King James. And then I'm going to jump over and read it in the message. So it might be a little bit of reading this morning. But we'll just jump in and go. Hallelujah. I want to talk about the equipping of the saints. Hallelujah. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of vocation which wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are all called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave, listen to this, gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now back up one, Robert. Let me read that one more time. Verse 11, I believe it is. Can we go back to 11? It said, he gave some He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. How many know that's what the gifting of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher is for? The perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Go on. Until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. How many know it's the purpose to bring us into the fullness of what Christ is, what Christ has, and Christ in us? That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So the scripture tells us that he gave gifts unto men. And then we go on and say the apostle, the prophet, the pastors, the evangelists, the teachers, and those things were for the edifying of the body and the lifting up and the exhortation and to cause the body of Christ to grow up in maturity and to what he's called them to do. Amen? But here's what happens a lot of times. You can flip that over in the message now, Robert. But what happens so many times is we think those are the only gifts in the body. And so we start thinking, well, if the apostle doesn't move, God must not want to speak. Or if the prophet doesn't have an anointing this morning, God must not want to speak. And we start thinking that those are the only giftings in the body. But how many know God has placed you in this body as a gift? You are a gift to the body. It's not just your gifting, but you yourself are a gift, a blessing to this body. Amen? And God has placed you here as he has called you and brought you in. How many know God joins us together and he places diversities of gifts among us? Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that we're not all the same thing? We don't all look the same. We don't all operate the same. And we don't all have the same talents and the same giftings. Now, I've told you before, there are a lot of things that I can do, but there are a lot of things I can't do. And one of the smartest things I can do is recognize what I can't do and find somebody who can. Yeah. Amen? Now, that doesn't mean you can't learn it. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. But there's some things I don't have time to learn at this point in season in my life. But thank God there are people who are trained in them. Whatever the area might be, you understand? Like, probably chances are I'm not going to be a doctor at this point in my life. I don't have the time or the energy to invest in that. But thank God somebody has the gifting of that, and God has placed them in the body. Aren't you thankful for Christian doctors? Hallelujah. See, they can diagnose the facts. But Jesus said, I am truth. Hallelujah. So I'm thankful for them in the body. But he has placed us as gifts in the body as it pleases him. Hallelujah. Where every joint supplies. And so it says he equips them, or that word equip means to craft, as in craftsman or an artisan, to design or build, to prepare for service, to make one what he ought to be, to mentor, to train. Somebody said success is not success if there are no successors. How many know to have success, you need to have successors? And whether it's in the corporate world, whether it's in the church world, wherever it is, our duty and calling and gifting is not only to do what God has called us to do, but to train others to do what God has called us to do. Do you understand what I'm saying? One of our greatest ministries is to empower people to be what God has called them to be. Hallelujah. Activate. How many know you have to activate your faith? You have to activate your calling. You have to activate your purpose and then empower people to do what the gifting and calling of God in their life is. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for those who believed in me from a little girl. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm thankful now at this point in stage in my life for preaching on a radio broadcast. I may not have been then, and I was fearful and didn't understand what purpose this had, but I know it had purpose in my life. I'm thankful now for an opportunity to have done prison ministry and go into the jails and things like that, going into nursing homes. Little did I know that those things were preparation for where God wanted to bring me to today. Hallelujah. And see, what happens is you get older, you get a little bit wiser, and you start thinking, Lord, everything you have brought me through in my life has been a stepping stool or a pedestal or a stair to get me to the next level of what you have called me to do in my life. Hallelujah. And so I remember as a little girl standing up on the pew and giving a testimony. You had to stand up so everybody could see and hear you so you could give your testimony in church. Amen. But I'm thankful for the people who were patient with me, amen, to be able to develop those ministries and callings. And so as leaders in church and those who are called to do things, how many know we have to empower those around us to be and develop their giftings and their callings of what God has called them to do? Let's read that in the Message Bible. It says, in light of all this, here's what I want you to do. While I'm locked up here, a prisoner for the master, I want you to get out there and walk. Better yet, run. On the road, God called you to travel. I don't want any of you sitting around on your hands. I don't want anyone strolling off down some path that goes nowhere. And mark that you do this with humility and discipline, not in fits and starts, but steadily pouring yourself out for each other in acts of love. Alert at noticing differences and quick at mending fences. You were all called to travel on the same road and in the same direction, so stay together, both outwardly and inwardly. You have one master, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who rules over all, works through all, and is present in all. Everything you are and think and do is permeated with oneness. But that doesn't mean you should all look and speak and act the same. Out of the generosity of Christ, each of us is given his own gift. The text for this is, he climbed the high mountain. He captured the enemy and seized the booty. He handed it all out in gifts to the people. It is true, is it not, that the one who climbed up also climbed down to the valley of earth. And the one who climbed down is the one who climbed back up to the highest heaven. He handed out gifts above and below, filled heaven with his gifts. Filled earth with his gifts. He handed out gifts of apostle, prophet, evangelist, and pastor, teacher to train Christians in skilled servant work, working within Christ's body, the church, until we are all moving rhythmically and easily with each other, efficient and graceful in response to God's Son, fully mature adults, fully developed within and without, fully alive like Christ. No prolonged infancies among us, please. We'll not tolerate babes in the woods, small children who are an easy mark for imposters. God wants us to grow up, to know the whole truth and tell it in love, like Christ in everything. We take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything we do. He keeps us in step with each other. His very breath and blood flow through us, nourishing us so that we will grow up healthy in God, robust in love. Hallelujah. To grow up healthy in love. How many know God wants to bring a maturity even in our relationship with the Lord? Hallelujah. Where we, he's talking there about not being blown around by every wind of doctrine and by everything that comes down the pike. How many know we get so affected by what the newest thing that's being said out there? And we take people's opinions and things like that sometimes when we need to just let some things go. Hallelujah. You know, one of the things we get worked up about, it's getting ready to come into that time of season, whether we say Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays. Well, Happy Holidays means a happy holy day anyway. Merry Christmas comes from the Christ Mass, Merry Christmas. Here's the deal. If they don't want to say Merry Christmas to you, it's okay. If they want to say Happy Holidays to you, it's okay. If they don't even want to say Have a Good Day, that's okay too. But how many know you need to be gracious regardless? Because sometimes we take offenses to things and think, what does that matter? Really, you have an opportunity to minister to somebody every place you go. How will you minister? Will you minister in grace? It's not about what you say, folks. It's about what you do. I mean, we need to preach the gospel and use words if necessary. Hallelujah. It's more about our actions and more about our maturity and more about our solid faith that it's okay if you don't agree with me. I still love you. I hope you love me. And we can agree to disagree. And I'm going to do what works for me. And you got to do what works for you. Hallelujah. But I can share my faith with you. I can tell you my experience. I can tell you what I know to be real for me. I can tell you about my encounter. I can tell you what it means to me. Hallelujah. Because my experience will mean more to me than the facts of somebody's story or something else. What I've experienced in my life is mine. It's real. All right? So we have to have our own experience. And what I find is sometimes we become very ungracious by defending what we think we know or what we think is our theology or our doctrine when Jesus just wants us to have that robust love, extravagant love. Just go ahead and love on them anyway. Hallelujah. When you run into somebody that's unlovable or having a rough day, love on them anyway. Let me know, the scripture says the very best way to make an enemy, to silence an enemy, is make them your friend. Heap coals of kindness on their head. Hallelujah. The graciousness. And I'm amazed sometimes that we only have grace for those we love or grace for those in our circle. And we sometimes become ungracious to those who maybe don't believe the same way we do or don't have the same faith that we do or don't have the same doctrine that we do. But the scripture just said, look, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Till we all come together to the unity of faith. How many are thankful that we have the ability to express God in the way that we feel to express Him? Hallelujah. If you want to have a praise break, go ahead and have a praise break. Hallelujah. If you want to have a Holy Ghost moment, go ahead and do it. If you're a silent worshiper, it's all right. Hallelujah. But be the expression of the Father in the earth. Be the gift to the body that God placed you to be. Be a gift to those about you, those around you. And it's not just talking about your talents as a gifting. How many know you are a gift? Yep. Hallelujah. You are a gift to the body. Hallelujah. Go to Romans chapter 12, and let's do it out of the Message Bible, Robert. But I believe God is challenging us as a body ministry. And what I love this morning is how you guys operated as a body and laying hands on one another and ministering to one another and feeling the need of somebody in the house and being able to go to them and minister to them and flow in that. Hallelujah. I love that. I love the connection. Hallelujah. We never know the power of a touch, the power of love, the power of just affirmation that says, I believe in you, I care about you, and I love you, and I'm here for you. Hallelujah. And what that, how powerful that is to those who are in need. In this way, we are like the various parts of a human body. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way around. The body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. Each of us finds our meaning and function as a part of his body. But as a chopped off finger or cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? So since we find ourselves fashioned in all these excellently formed and marvelously functioning parts in Christ's body, let's go ahead and be what we were made to be, without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other or trying to be something we aren't. If you preach, just preach God's message, nothing else. If you help, just help. Don't take over. If you teach, stick to your teaching. If you give encouraging guidance, be careful that you don't get bossy. If you're put in charge, don't manipulate. If you're called to give aid to people in distress, keep your eyes open. Be quick to respond. If you work with a disadvantage, don't let yourself get irritated with them or depressed by them. Keep a smile on your face. Oh, that'll preach. Hallelujah. I feel like reading that again. Hallelujah. I love this. Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflamed. Be alert, servants of the Master. Cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality. Bless your enemies. No cursing under your breath. Laugh with your happy friends when they're happy. Share tears when they're down. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. If you've got it in you, get along with everybody. Don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it. Our scriptures tell us that if you see your enemy hungry, go buy that person lunch. Or if he's thirsty, get him a drink. Your generosity will surprise him with goodness. Don't let evil get the best of you. Get the best of evil by doing good. Hallelujah. How do you eliminate uncleanness? How do you eliminate ungodliness, evil? All of those things. How many know we eliminate those things by pouring in what is good, what is profitable, what is righteous? You know, and I've given the demonstration before that you can have a jug of muddy water. But if you keep put that muddy water under the faucet and you keep pouring clean water into that jug, what eventually happens? It pushes all of that junk out of the top. Hallelujah. And so what we try to do is we find ourselves trying to pick all the granules of mud and dirt and things out of the jug when really if we'll just, and we'll get frustrated trying to remove all that because you can't do it. But if you keep continually pouring the goodness of God in, you know, the best thing to do in witnessing is to just to tell people how much Jesus loves them and continue to uplift them and build them up and tell them what you know, God has purpose in their life and God has calling in their life, and you continually pour into people, whether it be a spouse, a child, a friend, somebody, just keep pouring in the goodness of God. Just keep loving on them with that robust love. Just keep telling them and sharing with them the goodness of God. Your children need to know you believe in them when they're good and when they're bad. They need to know you believe in them. They need to know you love them. They need to know that you believe that there's good in them and purpose in their life. But if we're constantly pointing out the things that are wrong about people, how many know what? After a while, they start believing, I must not be capable, I must be dumb, I must not have the ability. And so we so focus on the negative sometime in people that we forget to accentuate the positive. Hallelujah. But man, you just start loving on people and say, man, you are just so good at washing those dishes. That's what mom used to do with us. You are just the best dishwasher I got. Hallelujah. I just love it when you cook that meal, and I just love it, you know, and you start, and what happens? You start thinking, oh, yeah, well, maybe I'll just cook another one, or maybe I'll just do something else, because we operate, everybody wants to be appreciated, everybody wants to be validated, and everybody wants to be honored. Hallelujah. And sometimes, what I want you to know this morning is sometimes our greatest ministry, our greatest gifting in the body might just to be encourage somebody else to do what God has called them to do. See, it may not even be my ministry, but if I can encourage you and activate you and empower you to do what God wants to do in your life, then the enlargement will come in that. Hallelujah. By empowering people to do what God has called them to do. Hallelujah. So I want you to just search your heart and say, Lord, what have you placed me in the body? What are you calling me to do? What can I contribute? What can I give? Hallelujah. What is it you're calling me to do and challenging me to do in this day, in this season? And then is there somebody, Lord, that in my day and in my travels and in my daily activities that I can encourage in the Lord? Is there somebody that just needs Jesus? Is there somebody that just needs to know the love of the Father? Is there somebody that I can just speak a word of life to and say, Jesus loves you. You have purpose in your life. You have calling on your life. And He's called you for such a time as this. Hallelujah. How many know in closing, there was a young lady and her name was Esther. And she was in the king's house. Hallelujah. And she was amongst a lot of people in the king's house. But how many know there was a Mordecai in her life that began to say to her, Esther, you need to go before the king. Because there's some negative things, there's some bad things that are happening outside of the court of the king's house. And Esther, you need to go to the king and you need to say to the king, you know, and you need to make supplication for our people before the king. And she said to him, what power do I have? What right do I have? I can't even go before the king unless there's a scepter. Unless he calls for me, I don't even have the right to go into his presence. See, sometimes you think you don't have the right to come into his presence. You think you're withheld from the king and that he doesn't have time for you. But how many know what she found out was Esther had favor with the king. And when she came before the king, he was more willing to receive her than she was to go. And he said to her, don't think that you're going to be safe here, but who knows that you were called to the kingdom for such a time as this. I want to tell you this morning, there are people in this house right here and right now, you were called to the kingdom for such a time as this. You've been placed and you've been purposed and you've been anointed and you have more pull with the king than you know that you have. Hallelujah. You got more purpose in you than you know. You got more destiny in you than you know. You got more calling in you then you know. Go ahead and approach the king on behalf of your people and on behalf of yourself, because God has placed you in this time and in this season. Hallelujah. Are there any Esthers in the house today? Hallelujah. Are there any Esthers in the house today that says, Lord, I'm here and I'm willing and I'm available and I'm just going to go ahead and approach the king because I have opportunity. The king is favorable for me. And he said, Esther, go ahead and ask me. Go ahead. Go ahead and ask me for a half, up to the half of my kingdom is yours. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet this morning. Hallelujah. And Esther's not just a female figure. Anybody can be an Esther. Hallelujah. But what the Lord's saying this morning, I believe, to us is go ahead and ask me. Just go ahead and ask me. Hallelujah. You've found favor with the king this morning. You've got purpose in your life. You've got calling in your life. Just go ahead and ask me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lift your hands in the house this morning. Hallelujah. Whatever, maybe there's somebody else on your heart that you're interceding for, that you need God to move. Hallelujah. Maybe it's even your own calling and your own giftings that you're searching and saying, God, speak to me, show me. What is it that you've called me to do? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, I just thank you that you've placed us as gifts. Hallelujah. In the body, gifts to the people. Hallelujah. And Lord, we just activate this body this morning. Hallelujah. We empower this body this morning. Hallelujah. And we prepare for enlargement. Father, as you send us out as arrows. Hallelujah. Lord, as you send us out as Esthers. Lord, in intercession for your people. Hallelujah. Lord, to reap a harvest of those round about us. Hallelujah. Lord, we're making room on our pews. We're making rooms in our cars. Hallelujah. For those who want to come, those who are drawn to the house, Father, those you're sending our way. Hallelujah. Lord, help us to be gracious. Help us to be loving. Hallelujah. Help us to be sensitive to your word and to your power, Lord, and your calling in our lives. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.